Welcome to the CLL edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the chronic lymphocytic leukemia community.
Hello, and welcome to the Rare Care Podcast. This is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. Our guest today is Dr. Nicole Lamanna, a hematologist and leukemia physician at Columbia University Medical Center in New York City. Dr. Lamanna recently gave a presentation on chronic lymphocytic leukemia, or CLL, at SOHO 2025, the Society of Hematologic Oncology in Houston, Texas. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
SOHO 25 just wrapped up in Houston. Your presentation, of course, was on CLL, and I'd like to ask you about the disease, but first, tell us a bit about yourself, your background as a physician, and how you came to specialize in leukemia.
Yeah, like with all good things, as a young physician, I had the fortunate opportunity of rounding as a young resident trying to figure out what they wanted to do on a leukemia service. And at that time, I rounded at Memorial Sloan Kettering on the leukemia service several years in a row as a resident. And I had great mentorship there. And then when I returned to my institution, which happened to be NYU, the Sloan Kettering docs kept calling me and asking me, hey, what are you interested in? Didn't you like working on leukemia? And I told them that I was very interested in treating the whole patient, meaning, from nuts to bolts, everything from their medical problem, but also incorporating all the different organ function. And they said, well, didn't you do that when you were with us on leukemia? Because, acute leukemia patients could be really ill, and we dealt with their cardiac issues, their infectious issues, their renal issues, and the leukemia. And I said, I did do that, didn't I? And they go, you'd be a really good candidate to think about leukemia in your future. And so I did. After that conversation, I began working with the leukemia team and then wound up applying for fellowship at Sloan Kettering. And then, they accepted me into fellowship and accepted me as a chief fellow as well. And I worked under great mentorship there and started working in chronic lymphocytic leukemia, or CLL, and doing research with a mentor there. And so I stayed on as fellowship and as faculty. So I was at Sloan Kettering for a decade before moving. Many of us moved to develop a brand new leukemia program at Columbia University on the west side of Manhattan 10 years ago, and developed a program from start on the leukemia service, and maintained my research involvement because I do clinical trials in CLL and continued to do that when we were developing the program, the leukemia service here at Columbia University. So that's kind of a very quick summary of how I came to be, but certainly I've been doing this for over 20 years now and running clinical trials in CLL and developing a program here. So it's been, as always, if you have really good mentorship, I think, that's why we have to mentor our young, because you never know what sparks their interest. And there you go. You can develop a whole new career, and we need more in rare diseases for sure.
Very nice. So you're from New York originally, yes? So one of your fellow New Yorkers, Dr. Jennifer Brown, was given this Outstanding Achievement Award at SOHO, and also she's a specialist in CLL. I'm wondering if you have a few words to say about her, since you're speaking about mentorship.
Yes. Well, Jennifer's at Dana-Farber now, right? So
right.
She's really Boston. Jennifer's been in the field for also many, many years, and I've had many collaborations with the Dana-Farber group, and, I think this award was, very fitting and well-deserved. Jennifer sees patients, but she also has a lab and is really interested in understanding the biology of CLL and how certain therapies work in CLL. And so that's been very important. So this was really a very nice, she's a leader in the field, both nationally and internationally. And so this was a very fitting award and well-deserving award. So I'm very happy for her.
Wonderful. So I'd like to talk about the disease itself. Leukemia is a big field, of course. CLL is very specific. Let's talk about this disease, CLL. How prevalent is it, and why is it of such concern?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even though leukemia is a big field, if you really think about all the leukemias put together, they are rare diseases. And CLL is one of the many leukemias, but all of them together are really, you know, tiny in comparison to solid tumor cancers, you know, breast cancer and lung cancer and prostate cancer. So leukemias are pretty rare in general. CLL is one of the most prevalent of the leukemias, although rare. There's, you know, about 20,000 new cases identified in the U.S. every year. But because it's a chronic illness and people can live for many years with the disease, there are many more individuals living with CLL over the course of their lifetime. So there's probably several hundreds of thousands of patients with CLL at any given time in the United States. It is relatively rare in the Asian population, but again, much more common in Western European patients.
And you mentioned that people can live with this disease for quite some time.
They can. In fact, so because it's a very different disease, unlike other cancers where, you know, they have, or other medical problems, you have a problem, we treat it, you know, with whatever therapy that may be, whether you have high blood pressure or you have breast cancer, you know, this is a little different. So not we don't have a cure, and therapies do have side effects. And B, believe it or not, about a quarter to a third of patients, there is a small group of patients with what we call very favorable disease characteristics that actually may never need treatment for their disease. Their blood counts are okay. They don't develop any big bulky lymph nodes. And so they can be monitored for their disease. And so there are a small number of patients that can go untreated through the course of their lifetime.
So let's talk about therapy now, if we can. What are the major therapies available, and what's in the pipeline for treating CLL?
Yeah. Absolutely. And since I'm older than some of the younger generation, I was part of the older era of therapy, meaning chemoimmunotherapy. So much more toxic drugs that really kind of targeted the bad CLL cells, but also good cells too. And so we had much more toxic therapies 20 years ago, even 10, 15 years ago. But lately, as we've been trying to, in the past 10 years, we've really started to understand the growth and pathways that these malignant B cells function on, and what are some of the key mechanisms of their survival. And so we've become much more targeted, and in conjunction with our pharmaceutical sponsors and companies that we partner with on the research end, we've really started to develop targeted therapies for this disease that impact the B cell pathway of development and other key proteins that help these B cells survive. And so there've been a lot of development. And so now we've moved away from chemoimmunotherapy, and there are some major classes of targeted therapies that have been used in the last 10 years that have really transformed how we treat this disease. One is a class called Bruton tyrosine kinase inhibitors, or
BTK
inhibitors.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so they really talk, they really focus on targeting a protein that is important for these B cells to stay alive.
The BTKs do not have the same toxic side effects as traditional chemo, correct?
Yes. So again, all these targeted therapies are generally much better tolerated than the old forms of chemoimmunotherapy that we used to use. And so actually we've moved away from really using chemotherapy at all in CLL nowadays. Oh. We've really diminished using any chemotherapy because of the toxicities that we used to see with the older therapies. Now, it doesn't mean that they don't have any side effects. You know, each class of targeted therapies have their own unique set of side effects, but much better tolerated. And not only that, much more efficacious than we did with chemoimmunotherapy. So much so that back in the day when we used chemotherapy, you know, it, because of the toxicities, they were better. Our younger patients, you know, the ones you were talking about, the 50 and under, were able to tolerate the more aggressive chemotherapy back in the day. But our older patients, who there are much more of them, had a harder time actually taking those therapies. And so the older folks actually had a shorter survival because our therapies were too toxic at the time to give older patients. Now with these targeted therapies like the BTK inhibitors, that's one major group, we can treat older patients just as well as we can treat younger patients. And so now the survival of our older patient population is doing just as well as our younger patient population. And it's, you know, age agnostic in a way. And so that's great because we're doing better for our older patients. The other major class that we are using are BCL2 inhibitors. And so that works on trying to force the CLL cells to die. And the big drug in that scenario is a drug called venetoclax, although there are newer BCL2 inhibitors being investigated in clinical trials as well. And so combinations, these are, believe it or not, both the BTK inhibitors and BCL2 inhibitors are oral therapies, so no intravenous therapies. So very, very different time than what we use with chemoimmunotherapy. And then fast forward, looking at newer agents, CAR T-cell, you know, was recently approved, at least in the United States. Depends on where you are internationally. Some countries have approved it and some have not yet. But CAR T-cell is looking at sort of targeted, trying to manipulate your T-cells to recognize your CLL cells and kill your CLL cells, obviously in a different manner than some of these other therapies. That was recently approved last year. Our first CAR T-cell called Lysocell was approved for CLL. We're still sort of working out the kinks because it has a different side effect profile than some of our other therapies, although it's one treatment. So it's obviously a shorter treatment compared to some of these other therapies, but they do have some side effects. And so right now it's approved in the relapse setting.
Is this an oral drug?
No, it is not an oral drug. It's an intravenous drug. So it's an infusion. So they actually manufacture. So patients have their blood taken. That's called leukapheresis. And then they have their T cell. They actually have the CAR T cells manufactured in a lab. And then they're to modify to recognize your CLL cells. And then that's given back to the patient and it's infused. And you actually get a little bit of what they call a conditioning regimen or a little bit of chemotherapy, plus or minus a BTK inhibitor. That's evolving, a combination to try to prep your body so that you can expand these T cells when you receive them. So hopefully they'll do a better job at killing your CLL cells.
Wonderful. In the 60 seconds we have left, any final thoughts?
Lots of clinical trials and new drugs with different mechanisms of actions that are being evaluated in CLL. So hopefully we'll have even more therapies to give our patients hope. And hopefully then we can truly, if we can eventually cure this, truly make this a truly chronic disease where patients are continuing to live a normal lifespan with the disease.
Wonderful. We've been talking with Dr. Nicole Amana, a hematologist and leukemia physician at Columbia University Medical Center in New York City. Dr. Amana, thank you very much for your time. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.